This is a HeadGum Original.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
There's no easy way to say this.
What is she doing here?
Get out.
He put me out of the house.
Who house? Come on. Half of everything in this house belong to her, and I ain't leaving here till she get it. You want this half? You want this half? He is 8 feet under.
6 feet under.
I beat him down 2 more feet. I was mad as hell.
Taekwondo.
And I know what, y'all. Ha! Come on, bring it out.
Peace be still.
That keeps me a piece of steel. As long as you got a piece of steel, you're gonna have peace. Load your steel. Thank you, Chief.
Kimberly Elise, Shamar Moore, Steve Harris, Cicely Tyson, and Tyler Perry.
Medea.
Ooh, your hair's pretty, girl.
What is this? Repeat offender day?
Tyler Perry's Diary of a Mad Black Woman.
I'm placing you under house arrest.
You ain't finna put me on no house arrest.
It's either that or prison.
I take the house arrest.
My God, I cannot believe this is happening. We've talked about this for a long time, and it's finally here.
It's finally here. It's truly what was getting me through the last couple viewings of The Lord of the Rings, but we are on our third season of Newcomers. We are working our way through Tyler Perry's body of work for the very first time.
I'm so excited. This is our first episode of the third season. We are going to get into all sorts of stuff. We're going to have a lot of Tyler Perry super fans on who know more about this than we do. And this is going to be 10 episodes. We won't get to everything, but we also won't run ourselves ragged like we have with the other topics.
Yes.
So I think this will be better.
It's a nice, cool 10. 20 was a little exhausting.
Yes.
You know?
But it was a bit much, especially once we were getting into like listening to Lord of the Rings radio plays.
Oh,
I feel like we really had crossed a line that no one wanted us to cross. So
yeah. We're gonna listening keep it simple. To that was one of the times I was like, I wish I lived on the west side so I could walk into the ocean.
Oh, yeah. I also had thoughts about death during that. So today we could say that we've completed what is known as the introduction to Medea. By watching the iconic character's big screen debut in Tyler Perry's first film, Diary of a Mad Black Woman, that came out in 2005.
Diary of a Mad Black Woman is available on DVD for a fee and on Amazon, Apple TV, Google Play, and Voodoo.
I will say I watched it for free. I Googled it and found it for free on some other site. So I think you can find it
on,
for free.
Pivot? Tubi.
What was it called? Tubi. Yeah.
Tubi.
Yeah, it just started playing. So I don't know. I say go for that. Obviously, we're going to have a lot of spoilers. We're going to talk about the whole movie and get into it. So if you want to watch it first, do that. If you already have seen it or you don't care, and you just want to hear us talk about it, then carry on.
I will say this. Watch at least half of it.
I agree.
It's a ride.
I feel like if you haven't seen it, you need to watch part of it because it is so surprising to me.
Yes.
I can't put it in the genre.
Nope.
Here's what I thought. I'll just say this before we get into our guests and getting deep into this. But having just seen commercials and things about Madea, I have thought it's a comedy.
Mm-hmm.
I have forever been like, oh, those are just funny movies about this, you know, Tyler Perry as a woman. Mm-hmm. That does not play a role until pretty far into the movie. And also, it's fully dramatic.
Very far in, to the point where I didn't think Madea was in it.
I started to wonder if I was watching the wrong thing. And fully, the character is the only funny part. There is nothing humorous about the other things. I mean, there are some things that I found very funny, but I don't think those were the comedic moments necessarily.
Yes.
So I want to get into this. Nicole, what were your expectations? And
okay,
what was different?
I didn't realize that Diary of a Mad Black Woman was based on a Tyler Perry play. And right. I have seen a Tyler Perry play. I believe I was in like seventh grade. My mom was very involved in the church. So the church, we got on a bus and we drove down to somewhere and we saw it. And I just remember one of the jokes was this lady was in a green sparkly dress and someone goes, "You look like a can of Sprite." And everyone laughed really hard. And I was like, well, I don't know if this is for me. I just didn't find it funny and I don't know why. And that is the only thing that has stuck out in my brain for Tyler Perry.
That's so funny.
And I saw Boo Madea 2, but I was like,
I don't even know this title.
I was very confused.
Is that a Halloween part 2 movie?
It was a Halloween movie, but like I had a hard time following it. And then I left the theater for a little bit to like talk on the phone with somebody. It was a mess. So I didn't like see the movie, but like this, I don't remember it being as like gospel-y or of like so much about God, or like it takes a hard turn to God.
There's a
we
ton about
introduce
God.
Our guest.
We got to get into this. Oh my God. Okay. Well, we're so excited.
I'm so excited.
Our guest today is John Braylock. John is an actor, comedian, writer, and producer. He's the head writer for the sketch group Astronomy Club, which premiered their hilarious self-titled sketch series on Netflix in 2019, which you should all go watch. Mm-hmm. And John also co-hosts the popular podcast Black Men Can't Jump in Hollywood. And he also was a guest in our previous seasons. John, thank you for being here. We can't wait to get into this.
Thank you so much for having me. I am beyond excited to talk about this movie in particular, and also that you guys are delving into the real MCU, the Madea Cinematic Universe.
I know Sean Diston's going to be disappointed because he was really pushing for us to do Marvel, but I don't know. Honestly, I'm so pumped about this.
This was the first.
I will say this. The movie was 2 hours long, so it borrows from the other universes we've explored.
This is so true. I was like, we didn't get away with it on time on this one.
No.
We're still going to put in the hours, okay?
Yes. Like, yeah.
Inexplicably long.
It should end at so many different points, or it could. Like, they could get away with it. I have to say, I really loved the ending, which I'll wait till we get there. But
it was like an improv show.
You're right. It was like the seeds keep going, and you're like, someone could edit this.
Yes,
we could
just
end this.
Get out of it.
For some reason, we can't.
John, how did you become a Tyler Perry fan?
So I grew up in a pretty conservative Christian household, and this was like, so Tyler Perry was like right up everyone's alley, basically, because it was black and Christian, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and that is what he's, and like all of his plays have this. You'll see, like, there are some movies that have it a little bit less, but there's always, God has always worked in somewhat. And at the end of the day, they're all kind of morality plays.
Mm-hmm.
This was like, I never got to see a Tyler Perry play, but I remember like my dad and my uncle, like trying to get us to go see one. And so I knew about Tyler Perry. And then this movie came out and I remember, and when I watched it, like we all watched it, and I was like legitimately like, this is a great film. Like, legitimately, like, this is a great, great movie. And I hadn't seen it. I hadn't seen this one in quite some time. And I've seen other Tyler. And since then, I've been like, okay, there are some that are better than others. And there are some that you're just like, oh, God. He's obviously created a name for himself from, you know, for people who've never seen his work. You kind of have an understanding of who Tyler Perry is and what he does. But I don't know. Even watching this film again, I know why this man is successful.
I felt I could understand it very easily. And I almost cried at the end. I don't know if that's weird.
So I watched this with Tessa and we both were like very misty eyed.
I also got misty eyed.
Okay. Thank you. I was getting worried that you were thinking I was crazy.
No. I'll tell you this. So Sashir went and saw it live. It was like the last Tyler Perry play. And she was like, I was full blown sobbing by the end.
Yeah.
So like he's very good at getting like you to feel.
But it's so fascinating because I felt like the second it started, it's really over the top.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I was like, some of these characters, I was thinking, I'm not going to be feeling something about them. I'm like, it's not going to get me. But then by the end, when, like, I mean, that mom character comes in singing, I was like, that character had seemed a little over the top to me in previous scenes where I was like, okay, I don't know. And then truly, I was like, she's back. Like,
100%. 100%. We're going to talk about this more and more, but I do think also one of the secrets to Tyler Perry's successes is that even though he's doing these literal soap opera melodramas, he has actors, because they're all black actors in Hollywood, especially during this time, the like early 2000s,
mm-hmm.
like they're being passed over by Hollywood completely.
Yeah.
So he's able to get like high caliber actors to come in and like make, you know, pretty kind of two-dimensional roles into something meaty, like, especially by the end. All of a sudden, you're like, whoa, this person's making me feel something. How are they doing? True.
As I watched it, I was like, oh, yeah, I fully see how this is a play. Like, this is a filmed play with locations. But, yeah, I was like, this would crush. Medea, the scene when they're in the closet.
Oh, my God, it's so funny.
And she's going, "Rat."
This is a wreck.
I was like, this would crush life.
She had a lot with the calculator. I was like, that's fucking hilarious.
Lauren, I was dying.
The calculator bit, I was like, I almost put it in my Instagram story. And then I was like, I don't even want to give this away. This is like hilarious.
Oh,
like,
it crushed me.
It's also like, and I've said this on our podcast. The other thing you have to know about why this is so successful is that Madea is truly one of the greatest comedy characters ever created.
Like, yeah, I agree.
I think I have to agree. I truly was like, first of all, he disappears into the role. I also didn't know that Tyler Perry played like 10 people in the movie. So that was also
Eddie
fun.
Murphy.
Yes.
Yeah.
He also plays a sincere, genuine, regular person who's just himself. Like, he doesn't have any prosthetics or anything. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, okay, so he's also like a romantic interest while being the crazy aunt. Like, he's just like so many things.
I feel like Tyler Perry was like, oh, I can't, you're passing over me for a lot of things. Well, I'll just be literally everything until you guys give me my due. And now he owns a fucking city in Atlanta and is harboring fucking the royals.
I will say it's not a bad idea and maybe we should do it.
I mean, I want slapsticky comedy to come back.
Oh, same.
Like, I think it would just be so, like, The Wrong Missy was so fun because.
Oh, thanks.
Like, I texted you the part where you fall off that cliff. I truly was like, ah!
I love shit like that. And like, I feel like it's very funny to just fall 100 times and be in no pain. And like, it's fun. It's just silly. Well, John, okay. So many comedians have been inspired by the characters and storylines in Tyler Perry films. And the tropes appear often in comedy, including being parodied on Astronomy Club. And your podcast also touches on them. So as a comedian, would you say that Tyler Perry has influenced your work?
Oh, man. I mean, Tyler Perry has definitely been a part of my work. I think, it's hard to say. Like, I guess in a way, it's weird because there's two sides of this. There's like the one side where I so respect what Tyler Perry has done for himself in this way of like, you know, like him and Oprah have like literally become like these huge moguls. Mm-hmm. They like own their own businesses. And like, yeah, like you just said, he like owns his own literal studio in Atlanta.
Yeah, I think believe he has there's an a island. Fire department. In
yeah,
spot,
I think he,
like, on
no,
the
I think
lot.
He has like a city.
Like it's
or
a
something.
City,
right?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, that's insane. And like, there's something like I think you can make a legitimate case that like, as a lot of people in the industry know, like Atlanta has become like a kind of hot spot for filmmaking. And like, you could say like Tyler Perry's the person who really put that on the map. A lot of people credit it to the fake MCU, but I don't know. Like, he was doing this first, and he really like. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. But then there is the other, it's like the antithesis of Tyler Perry, because Tyler Perry has been so mocked and like by both, the black and white communities in terms of like what we shouldn't be. I feel like Tyler Perry affects like any black working comedian's work, yeah. Just in the sense of like, you have to know who he is, mm-hmm. and you have to be like, you know, there was a point in which I felt like, oh, I'm not Tyler. My comedy is better than his. Like, it's more, it's smarter. It's more cerebral. I don't have to like dumb down. But it's complicated. Cause like, then I take a step back and I'm like, okay, but white people are able to do really dumb, stupid, mm-hmm, watered down totally. Comedy all the time. So like, why are we all getting on this one black man who's doing like, I don't, it's, it feels like a double standard. Mm-hmm. Did you guys see the episode, the Tyler Perry episode of Kenya Barris's show on Netflix?
I watched some of that. I can't remember what it's called right off the top of my head.
Black AF.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I did not see that episode.
I can't remember if I saw Tyler Perry's. I watched the first couple, so maybe I did.
Same.
Maybe after a couple of these episodes, after you've seen a couple of these movies, and maybe at a point where you're like, I don't know, Tyler Perry, watch that episode, because it is, he basically has Tyler Perry on, and like Kenya basically has that conversation with the actual Tyler Perry.
Oh,
like,
fun.
You know, and it's really like his kind of it's not even a defense of himself. His just stating like who he is and like why he does what he does. It's like pretty, it's kind of profound. And it made me really, really respect him again.
Oh, good.
So yeah, I don't know.
I think it's so funny that like black people kind of draw a line in the sand with him. They're like, I love Tyler Perry. I don't like Tyler Perry.
Right.
I truly toe the line on it, because I'm like, this is like one kind of movie. One kind of TV show.
Right.
I think my only issue that I take up with Tyler Perry is he had made this Instagram post where it was like stack of scripts. And he was like, wrote all these myself. And I was like, you have six shows on television. You could have a writer's room of 10 people. That is 60 people you could employ. Black people that you can employ. And you can elevate them to like higher levels. Yeah. Because in staffing, they're always like, there are no high level black writers. And it's because you get hired as a diversity hire, and once you become too expensive, nobody will hire you, and then you can't find a job. And it's like, but I could jump on a Tyler Perry project because he likes to hire black people. So that's my one problem.
Yeah, no, that is really interesting I think there's something about like the, I don't want to put the word arrogance on it, but like of just doing it all yourself and be like, see, mm-hmm. you did it all. And it's like, but you've already proven that. So I do think we know, like at a certain point, you know that the person is capable, and then to open it up, I just feel like I understand it for the first bit. Like,
mm-hmm.
yeah, keep showing us that you can do it by yourself. And then like at a certain point, you can elevate a ton of other people. Yeah. And
to be like perfectly honest, he doesn't do it all by himself. Like he does have people who help.
Okay.
Write
someone's
and stuff. It's
cutting
just
through to the truth here.
Telling me he's posting falsehoods on his Instagram?
No, I think he's credited by himself, that's for sure.
Yeah.
He was able to get that.
That is dicey. The thing with like writing for TV that I think people don't fully understand, like with writer's rooms and stuff, like what you really want is to get credit on an episode, because then you get paid more mm-hmm. than you do, even though everyone's doing it together. So that is an important element that's not happening there.
Yeah.
John.
Yeah.
What do you think that, what do you think is keeping the franchise, Madea, the other movies, what do you think it's, what do you think keeps it culturally relevant?
It's the fact that there just aren't enough Black stories being told. So
yeah,
like, you know, first of all, Tyler Perry wrote so many plays, and he was writing plays after like the movies started doing well. He just kept doing that. So, you know, he has like this wealth of, and he's made it into a factory. He really was able to figure out the formula of like, this is how I make a play, and this is how I'm able to make that play into a movie. And I'm able to do it for cheap. Like, that's the other thing about Tyler Perry, is that he does like cut corners sometimes. Like, this movie is actually, you'll see, like, cause this is the only movie he didn't direct.
Interesting.
And then by the time we get to like Boo 2, A Madea Halloween, you're like, okay, the quality of directing has clearly dropped.
And I can't wait.
And it's specifically because he is shooting things on very short timetables. Like, he's making sure that the cost of his movies are always pretty low, so that a $5 million movie can make $50 million like this one did.
So, dang. Isn't that, I don't know a ton about it, but with the, like his TV series, I feel like they shoot really fast. Do you guys know about that?
Yes.
Like,
yes.
They're like super, so it's probably a similar thing, like just doing it on a tight budget, getting it done, but then it can make a lot of money on the other side.
Yeah, and they're multi-cam.
Yeah, like, and I think they do like two shows a day or something like that. Mm-hmm.
So it's like a soap opera.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, it's a soap opera schedule, but for only like a 12 to 20 episode order.
Yeah.
Just get right to the point. Like, we don't need two takes. We're good.
That's all you got. When's my close up? We already did it.
Yeah.
Trust me, we got it.
And it's this character. It's like he's created the Madea character and a couple of other characters. And like, you'll see, like, it expands. Like, you know, when we get to like House of Paint, like all of the characters all come back in the other movies. So like, he knows what people love, and they're able to do it in this way that they just kind of, they keep it fresh. He's obviously a very good improviser. Like, that's the other thing. You just
he's
have to admit.
Funny.
Like,
very funny.
Dude, I found very him funny.
Yeah, I like, he's like, legit an all-star.
Like, honestly, it was in spite of myself, because I just wasn't sure what to expect. And I was like, well, I think this is funny. He made me laugh many times. Mm-hmm. And honestly, there's other parts I want to talk about that I don't know if they were intended to be funny. And I want to see what you guys thought. But I think we should right now, let's really quickly do our, now this is going to be an interesting title here, News Madea. Okay, it's like news media, but it's not. Okay.
So it's clever.
Very, 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 very clever. So here's our news in this world. Tyler Perry offered his home and security in Southern California to Prince Harry and Meghan Markle after they lost security protection from the royal family. Now, when I saw this in the Oprah interview, I did get really excited, because I was like, we are on trend with our topic. This is in the news.
Finger on the pulse.
Did you guys watch the Oprah interview?
I didn't, but the memes are so good that I think I understand what happened, and it's so sad.
I know. I'm sure you got everything from Twitter, basically, but it was really interesting. I loved it.
Yeah, it was great.
It's just so wild. It's like, how do you defend how you treated this woman? And that's all she is a woman, just a nice woman.
I know. Well, it seemed like the statement released by the royal family was like, some people's recollections are different than others. And it's like, you're saying she's lying.
Oof. But
so in the interview, which was on March 7th with Oprah, Prince Harry and Meghan Markle revealed that Tyler Perry swooped in to help them. So they were told they would stop receiving security protection from the royal family, and which is so crazy.
Because presidents don't they get Secret Service for the rest of their lives?
Right, right. It's so crazy to me to think that he would just go to be a regular citizen with no protection. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't seem fair or safe, but Harry and Meghan, they were in Canada at the time, and they were panicking about the safest place to go. And it was right when COVID was happening.
Oh,
so
my God.
They didn't know if they'd be able to cross the border once COVID shut everything down. So Tyler Perry, I would like to know how this happened, but he offered not just one of his homes in Southern California, but a full security detail. And they stayed in that house for 3 months while they got their life set up in Santa Barbara, which is where they live now.
I mean, maybe we're going to get Diary of a Mad Black Princess, you know? Maybe he had cameras.
Dude. Oh my God. Well, you know what's so funny? Because in the interview.
Oh my God.
I thought it was really interesting. They were talking about how they're cut off financially. So he, Prince Harry, had like a whole, you know, life set up with all the money mm-hmm. there. But so he only has the money that his mom left him, which I'm sure is a lot, but mm-hmm. he, they were able to like figure it out. But then, you know, Oprah was asking them about their Spotify and Netflix deals and like, oh, you know, kind of calling out that people have suggested that that was Meghan's plan all along or whatever. Mm-hmm. And they both said that they truly just had no clue how they were going to be able to pay for security and do all these things. So that's why they did those deals. And I mean,
dang,
makes sense. I guess.
That sucks.
Yeah.
Come on. They have to. I mean, they have to make money. It's,
yeah. Like, and why would you not?
And they're not like, going to work at a Burger King.
Like, totally. Like, why would you not take those deals? Anyone would.
Yeah.
But I think people are just so critical of the royal family and Meghan Markle. So it's like. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And people don't realize that, like, when a very famous person makes a ton of money, especially like, you know, you're like Brad Pitt's of them, they have to have security because people are fucking nuts.
Yeah.
So it's like you kind of have to pay for the lifestyle. And the lifestyle includes, you know, security detail. So
yeah. And I think they were already, I mean, I don't know if you got this from what you looked at online, Nicole, but they were like, when Meghan was pregnant with Archie, she was told that he wasn't going to have a title. And there was like no real reason for that.
Mm-hmm.
And so then she was already getting like scared about like, what does this all mean for like us that like we're not getting treated the same way? And she also was talking about her mental health issues that were ignored. And I think they had a good reason to leave, but it's just so crazy. And then, yeah. So somehow Tyler Perry, I don't know what the connection is. I'd really like to know who called who.
Yeah.
Because like...
How or did, maybe like, Tyler Perry, it's like the bat signal. It's like, a black is in danger. I have to go save them.
He's like, he just figures out her phone number. I don't know. I'm so curious if like one of them was friends with him first or something. Because like, also it just like seems Oprah so weird that they even had to ask. Don't you feel like, couldn't they figure out a place to stay without having to stay at a friend's house? I don't know. It just sounds like really normal.
I mean, well, if you really think about it, if you really think about the fact that like this man was like he's a prince. So like,
yeah,
it's he doesn't have anything. Like everything he has is tied up into the family. Mm-hmm. And if they kick him out, it's like it's actually a very good segue into this movie.
Yes. Oh my God. You're so right.
You kicked out with just the U-Haul.
It's like you have nothing.
You have a U-Haul.
Oh my God. I love that connection. Well, okay. Well, let's take a quick break and we'll come back and jump into the whole movie itself.
If you're wondering what a NordVPN is, I'll tell you. VPN stands for Virtual Private Network, a service that protects your internet connection and online privacy. A VPN creates an encrypted tunnel for your data. Protect your online identity by hiding your IP address and allow you to use public Wi-Fi hotspots safely. I'm using a NordVPN myself. And honestly, it's very easy to use. You connect with one click to enable auto connect for zero click protection. It has amazing speed. NordVPN is one of the fastest VPNs out there, and it supports every major platform: Windows, Android, iOS, Linux, even Android TV. You can switch your virtual location to access apps and websites in other countries. Get an exclusive NordVPN deal here at nordvpn.com/newcomers. NordVPN.com/newcomers. It's risk-free with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. Link is in the episode description.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
And we're back. Okay, let's get into it. I gotta say, before we get into it, I really had such a nice time.
So did I.
Was watching it alone, talking to my TV. I was like, Okay, so we start with Helen and Charles McCarter. They seem to have a perfect life behind the scenes. Charles is an abusive attorney having affairs. Helen is unemployed, bored, and trying to make her marriage work on their 18th wedding anniversary, which I thought was like a pretty high number for these young looking people. But anyway, Helen arrives to find all of her belongings in a U-Haul. Charles reveals he is kicking her out for Brenda, his mistress and mother of his two sons. How scandalous.
I know. And it starts out like almost like a rom-com. Like, so this kind of is interesting. Like, it's like they're at like an event. I can't remember if it was a wedding or just some big event, like some fundraising thing or
it
something.
Was like, he was getting an award.
Oh, yeah. And it was like, there's like a narrator, which kind of goes away. Mm-hmm. But then like it felt kind of like, oh, it's like a rom-com. And then suddenly it was like a soap opera where she's getting kicked out. Mm-hmm. And Helen kicks the driver, Orlando, out of the truck and drives it to visit her grandmother, Medea. Now, this is, I'm thrilled at this point. Medea takes Helen in to the dismay of her brother, Joe. Joe's son, Brian, acts as Medea and Helen's attorney after Charles and Brenda catch them breaking into Charles's mansion, which is an amazing scene.
So good.
Judge Maybelline Ephraim places Medea under house arrest and sets a property or cash bond for Helen. So they go to court. They have this whole thing. I mean, we're really getting through it quickly with this summary because there's a lot there.
Yeah, so much happens there. But first, I just want to say, Charles, where he's being honored, he said, if I had to come back as anything, I'd come back as myself. And everyone laughed, and I was like, What?
What a crazy thing to say.
Wildly cocky thing to say.
Why even set up that you would have come back as something? Like, what? You're fine. Like,
yeah, just be like, I'm happy to be me. Yeah. And then the way he drags her out of the house. So they bring in
Brenda. Oh my God,
Brenda.
The dragging is so insane. It's really, it looks so painful.
It looks so painful. And she's like, crawling and really staying in that house to the point where I was like, did anyone choreograph this? Or is fighting for her actual life to stay
in this house? I was thinking about the choreography too. I was like, okay, I hope he's holding on to her in like a loose way. Cause like she's like really grabbing at stuff. And it just seemed like it must have been, I hope they didn't do it 100 times. And maybe knowing Tyler Perry, they didn't, but he wasn't directing yet. So maybe they did.
Okay. So, Brian kicks
feel like we have to touch back on when they broke back into the house.
Oh, yes.
Medea basically types in a calculator for 10 minutes.
Like it's a keyboard.
To figure out what Helen is owed by this man who has like screwed her over. And it's just it's a hilarious comedic scene. And then she's like, we're going to that house. And she's like, my guard will never let us in. And then Medea just flies through the barrier and
Which
break
made
in.
Me laugh so hard. Oh, wait, first. Wait, before that, we get to see a crackhead who's married to...
Yes! This is such an important role.
Shit, to Brian.
What's
so Brian,
the character's name? Hold on.
Brian, that's Tyler Perry. As Tyler Perry is Brian, the lawyer. His baby mom is a crackhead.
Oh, yeah, okay, that's Deborah.
Yeah, she's like, oh, okay. So, yeah, Deborah's, like, not doing okay. Like,
no,
truly...
No, and that part
visibly
felt
shaking.
That part felt so crazy at first. It did grow on me, but like I feel like she walked in, she's like, I'm fine, you know, and you're like, oh God. She's like literally on drugs right now.
Yes. Well, I don't think she was on drugs. I think they were trying to portray that she was going through like withdrawal.
Yes.
And needed to get like some food to then go get her drugs.
And Medea was feeding her and gave her a plate of food. And she was like saying to the other woman, like, don't judge me. And then she leaves. Uh-huh. And I was like, Medea's like a caretaker.
Yeah.
But also just like absurd. Like she's, but well, seems to be like a motherly figure.
I feel like people need to know that. What happened is that you have at least 20 minutes of a truly intense melodrama where it's like, this woman has a husband from hell. Mm-hmm.
He beats her.
So dripping with evil, like it to a degree that you're just like, there's no real person like this. But like, he is so bad that after he kicks her out and you're just like, you're there sitting so tense and she's just has to drive and she drives to a house. And she opens the door, and Medea's standing there with a gun. And then immediately.
Yes, he has so like immediately a goes from that. Comedy.
The tone shifts so suddenly, and she's like, it's me, it's your granddaughter. And then she's like, oh, okay. And so you have
no. First, she's like, you over here looking for the drugs? And she's like, no. And she's like, well, you gotta come back in the day. And she's like, no, why let me in. And she's like, okay.
Because like Kimberly Elise is still acting in the drama, and you have a character who is fully in an Eddie Murphy comedy, and you're just like, wait, what is happening?
It's like Big Mama's House, where is it Nia Long sees Martin Lawrence as Big Mama, and she's like, Big Mama, you look different. He's like, come on, you gotta get a shot. He's like, okay, Big Mama, and you're like, wait, no, this is a relative of yours. Yeah, and Helen's just like, oh, that's Medea.
Yeah, it's Medea does not strike anyone as being odd or over the top. Medea is very normal. Everyone knows Medea. There's nothing weird about her in this world, which is like the best. It makes it funnier.
They're scared of her.
Yeah, if anything, they're scared.
So where are we?
Okay, so third paragraph. Brian
is kicks
Tyler
his wife.
Perry, right?
Yes. So Tyler Perry, Brian kicks his wife, Deborah, out and strains his relationship with his daughter, Tiffany, fearing Tiffany will turn to drugs like her mother. Brian refuses to let her join the choir, which is like, why?
I don't see that connection.
Me either. It's like,
they never explain it.
Leads to drugs. You'll get high on the sounds and you'll want crack. Medea convinces him to forgive Deborah and allow Tiffany to join the choir. Helen starts seeing Orlando.
Now, that's also, like, huge. Like, she starts having a relationship with the guy who was driving her initially and that she kicks out the U-Haul. Mm-hmm. It becomes extremely romantic.
Yes.
He's, like, the first person to really care for her. She's coming out of this relationship where she was abused for so long.
And the voiceover comes back to let us know all this.
And she starts writing in her diary.
That's her diary. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Or the voiceover is all her writing in the diary.
Yeah. Yes. And this relationship was just straight up romance. Like, so this genre for me is like fully deep, intense, sort of dramatic love story.
Yes.
But I gotta say, Shamar Moore's wig really took me out of it. I was like, what are these braids?
I was gonna ask about that.
What is going on? There was no scalp to be seen.
Yeah. That seemed a little unnecessary. I'm like, well, what's his hair like underneath it? Can we just like see what that is? Because like, it looked like a wig, and that seemed weird.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
but an attractive man still, right?
Oh, he's very hot,
so handsome.
And I mean, I definitely recognized him, but I wasn't sure from what. He's been in hundreds of episodes of multiple shows, so I was like, okay, he's just been on my TV for everything ever. So. Meanwhile, Jameson Milton Jackson asks Charles to be his defense attorney in his trial. That name is amazing.
Oh,
in his trial for shooting an undercover cop during a drug deal, asking that he bribe the judge to rule in his favor. Now, this is like a whole subplot that comes in. And you're like, okay, now there's like this drug deal thing. There's bribery with the lawyer. It's like, it feels like a different movie again. Like they're in like almost an airplane
like
hangar.
Like a suspense movie. Yeah.
Yeah. So in divorce court, Helen lets Charles keep the money and property provided he pays Brian's attorney and Myrtle Jean's nursing home fees. Charles agrees. And in the shooting case, the jury finds Jameson guilty. This was a crazy part. And by the way, this is like 2 hours in. Jameson snatches the bailiff's gun and shoots Charles. And it's like chaos.
Which I couldn't believe. But
I loved it. I loved it. Because I was like, well, I was really excited about this scene because I was like, I love when shit just happens. That's like crazy. Like it got me excited again because there was a lot of like deep drama sort of happening, and then this was just like
Well, before he shoots him, he like then threatens him again. And then Charles is like, before I became a lawyer, I ran the streets. So don't talk to me like that. And I was like, wait, what is happening? But yeah. Before that, we have a house party where old people smoke weed. And one of the old people bugs out.
That woman was tweaking and she was like playing cards.
Yeah. And she saw something on the cards. And then she like lost her mind. And then I feel like Joe smokes weed. I mean, these old people, they're
the
fun.
Woman who was like on drugs was playing cards with Tyler Perry as an old man character.
Yeah, Joe. That's Joe.
Oh, that's Joe. Okay. The name's
Yeah, and that's I Tyler Perry too, name. Right?
And that's Tyler Perry. He plays those three characters and they're in almost every movie.
Okay, good.
Wait a minute. So he plays three characters per movie and he wrote it and he directs it. That's a lot of hats to have on, sir.
It is a lot of hats, even when you just think about him getting into those costumes, which takes a lot of time, and then directing. So it's like he can't be in two places at once. So basically, I wonder what the schedule's like when he's getting ready is my
question. Yeah, I wonder. Also at the house party, Medea was in her, she wasn't in her costume. She was in different clothing. And I was like, oh, I didn't know Medea had a change of clothing.
Medea's tits, by the way, are so amazing.
The scene where she fucks up the house with the fucking, did we talk about this? The chainsaw?
Oh my God, no.
Literally cuts everything in half.
And her tits are just flopping. And Tyler Perry is moving his body so they flop.
And it's really funny.
It made me laugh so
they're really well done. It was like real, but absurd at the same time. And I really enjoyed that.
Oh, I loved it.
I really did too.
Okay, so Orlando proposes to Helen in a way where he put the ring on while she was sleeping, and then she lifts her hand to do her hair and she's like, no, what?
It's literally so crazy how it happens. She gets out of bed and she goes and looks in the mirror and she touches her hair with her right hand and she touches her hair with her left hand. And I was going, what is, I actually rewound it because I got confused. And then
I thought
then
she was wearing her old ring and she was like, oh, I should take this off. But then it was like, no, she doesn't know what this ring is.
She looks at it and she goes, what? Like, what's happening? And like, it was just the weirdest proposal. I've never seen anything like that. And the slow realization that she had a ring on was just amazing.
So before she can respond, the TV's just on to the news where she sees the shooting happen and goes to the hospital with Brian. The doctor says Charles might be paralyzed and they ask if they should resuscitate him if things deteriorate. Brenda, she's like, hard no. No, let him die. Let him
die. It's so evil.
And then
life if you can't walk? That's literally what she said.
And I was like, Tyler Perry, you can't say disgusting. That. You can't say that. It's not bad. So Helen is still Charles' legal wife. So she tells the doctor, she's like, you do everything in your power to keep him alive. Charles, oh boy, this part of the movie.
This part's where I was laughing, I have to say.
Really wild.
Unfortunately.
Charles returns home with Helen, who is offered to take care of him. It is revealed that Brenda emptied Charles' bank account and left with their boys. Charles resumes his verbal abuse of Helen, to which Helen is like, no, sir. And he's going, Brenda, Brenda. She's like, Brenda, Brenda.
Yeah,
that
it's
made
pretty
me
funny.
Laugh so hard.
And then the part where he flies out of the wheelchair into the hot tub or whatever. I was like,
I couldn't believe it.
That was so crazy. That was comedic, but like it's not.
But
it was
horrific.
Also really sad.
It's horrific. No, it's like a horror film.
It's a horrific act, and the way they shot it was like a comedy.
It's abuse and it's horrible, but it's goofy. Like it's shot
so goofy.
From like above, and he suddenly goes like bloop. He's like flying into the tub. I'm like, this is crazy. And then he's laying there with
drowning.
His face half in the water.
And she's smoking a cigarette.
And he's like, blah, blah, blah. Like he's like making bubbles because he's the actor is kind of spitting water out as he's laying there. So you don't really feel that he's in some serious danger, which is why it also feels kind of funny still.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's just being like a total bitch to him and being like, now it's my turn and you're going to suffer.
Like, and before. Boo, 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 boo. And before
she's like, stop making bubbles. He's dying.
Before she tries to drown him, she left him in his chair for 2 days. And then when she comes back, she's like, you smell.
And I was like, obviously, this man can't do anything.
The relationship between the two of them is so confusing because
it is.
She is treated horribly by him. She gets kicked out. He almost dies. She helps him come back to, you know, living and she takes care of him. Yet, not without just punishing him first, but then they like love each other again. Mm-hmm. And then she has to like, quote unquote, break his heart because she like, well, I'll just read the last part and we'll get to that. So Helen and Orlando argue when he learns she's moved back in with Charles to look after him. And he's like, you don't deserve this. Meanwhile, Charles realizes his mistakes and apologizes to Helen. Too little, too late. I mean, everyone's done way too much at this point. He regains his ability to walk one day in church, which is miraculous, where Deborah, now clean and sober, reconciles with Brian. That has to be the moment where I was about to cry. Mm-hmm. Charles hopes to start over with Helen, but during a family dinner, she gives him her wedding ring and signed divorce papers in front of everyone, reassuring him that she will always be his friend. I don't know why. She finds Orlando, asks him to propose again, and accepts when he does.
And by find Orlando, she runs through a factory.
There's a man movie.
Who's like, it's dangerous like, here. And she's like, no.
Wait, what is that movie? Like Officer and a Gentleman? Yes, I've never seen it. Yes. But they were like, Richard Gere like carries that lady out. So it was basically they reenacted that ending.
They reenacted the ending. I've never seen the movie.
I've never seen that, but I have seen that replayed. It's parodied so much that I feel like I know that scene. And so I'm like, why that choice? Like she runs in the factory. He lifts her up, carries her. I mean, I don't know. It's a whole thing.
Because it's epic.
It was epic though. It was truly epic. And okay. So this movie was written by Tyler Perry based on his 2001 play of the same name. It was directed by Darren Grant and it was released on February 25th, 2005. Okay, so John, we know that you're a big fan of the Madea franchise. How does this first film compare to the rest of the franchise for you? You kind of touched on how they get a little more cheaper, but in terms of like quality overall.
I mean, I think this is definitely one of the best ones for sure. Like, and
it does trouble me just a little bit.
Well, it should, but it should because that is what it is. Like, you're always going to get like, plot lines that are pretty stereotypical and like scenes where you're just like, what? Like this is way over the top. And it's always undercut by Madea like doing the comedy, but there's never, even in the Madea focused movies, it's like, there's still lessons to be learned. I don't know.
This movie had like 100 lessons. Like,
right.
It was really, like you mentioned, a morality play. Like there were so many things like, and even just the sort of redemption of the characters at the end, like anyone you thought was bad is good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Everyone had a chance. And I mean, it's so interesting. Yeah. I think I'm always kind of fascinated by things like that. Like you say, like how the other movies have like, kind of typical storylines that are kind of predictable or whatever. I find it really interesting to just have the confidence to just write a story that is like that. Like to just go like, and then they do this thing that is pretty obvious that they would do next. And then this happens. And it just seems kind of fun. And you can also understand why he's cranking these out like by the dozen. And by the way, really enjoyed myself.
Yeah, I had a great time. But I will say everything did wrap up in a nice little bow, except for Charles's storyline. Charles doesn't have any money, yet he lives in a castle.
He's fucked.
Like, what is going to happen to the castle? Also, he could go after that woman for taking his money. He's not dead.
Right. She can't just do that. They weren't even legally married. If they, he was still married to the married. Other woman.
She just had children by him. Which stole also his was money. So bananas. When she was like, you're cheating on me. He's like, get out of my car. And then he's like, this is the woman. And I have kids. My children. She's like, I wanted children. He was like, well, sorry.
And then she, oh my God, she basically implied that he like punched her to the point where she lost pregnancies.
Uh-huh.
Like she's like, you made it so that I lost, you know, I don't know how she phrased it because it was kind of like buried in there. But I was like, oh, my God, that's like a huge accusation. And then like huge story point. And then everything he said in the car was the meanest thing I've ever heard in my life.
So mean.
That even then I'm like, why would you even want to take care of him after? I mean, I also don't think you should go back and abuse him. It's all just like, get this person away from you. But
Also, when they go in the closet and all of Brenda's new clothes are there, and Medea's like, "A Dolce and Gabbana's." I can't remember how she's like,
"What's a Dolce Gabbana?" And she's like, "It's a designer." And she's like, "I use these things to wipe my mirror." And then she just like rips it up. She's like, "This is a rag.
It's a rag. It's a rag."
And then she's threatening to fight her. Medea is. I can't wait to get to the Medea movies. I don't know if I've laughed harder than at Medea. Medea is fucking funny.
So this is my question. Is Medea a bigger role in the other ones, or is it kind of like this where she's just there from time to time?
In most of the movies, she is a supporting character.
Isn't there Ernest goes to jail? Doesn't Medea go to jail?
Yes, right. Yes. But like even in like Medea, like Boo a Medea Halloween, like there's a whole storyline that has nothing to do with Medea. Like there's always some sort of storyline happening. And Medea Solomon's. That Medea goes to jail one, that is one I haven't seen, and I think it might be a little more Medea focused. But
I want to know if he ever directed in the Medea costume just out of like convenience.
Oh, I truly hope so. I would love that. Like Medea has one scene of the day, it's the top scene, yes. And then the rest of the day just dressed as Medea.
But here's the things that you could always expect. You can always expect that Tyler Perry is playing multiple characters. Mm-hmm. There's generally always a dark skinned black man who is the most evil person.
Oh my God.
On the face of the earth.
It's interesting.
It's just a thing. It's just weird. You're like, okay, like, but it's reversed because then you have a, you know, like Kimberly Elise, and then you have like the light skinned black
Savior,
woman.
Savior,
like,
yeah. Oh, well, you know. Have the light-skinned black woman who's evil, but then you have the light-skinned black man who's the savior of it.
Right.
And I guess Tyler Perry's trying to say colorism shouldn't exist. They're all bad.
Right.
They're all bad.
And I also think, like, honestly, I'm thinking about this now, but I think one of the reasons he makes the bad guys so bad is so that people aren't getting in, because he wants to tell people, like, he wants to give morality lessons to people.
Yeah.
And it's hard to do that if people are like, wait, but that person actually has a point. So he makes them so bad so that Medea can come in and like give it. Like everyone gives Kimberly advice in this movie. Like Tyler Perry gives her advice in three different characters.
I almost like, thought that the Tyler Perry as himself kind of character was going to be a romantic interest for her, because
their first conversation, I
was like, oh, he's like kind of
they're
seeming
related,
like,
though,
yeah, but no, it didn't go that way. But that's so interesting. So like, wait, keep going. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No. So it's all a part of like a family. So like there's always somebody who's related to Medea and then, mm-hmm. So it's like that kind of pulls you in, that they keep getting all these incredible actors, like amazing black actors to be in these films. Like, every film has like Idris Elba is in a Medea movie. Viola Davis is in a Medea movie. Like, you know, obviously this movie had like Kimberly Elise and like Cicely. Like there's so many amazing black actors that maybe hadn't popped yet. It like hadn't quote unquote crossed over. Mm-hmm. There's something to be said that Medea, like Tyler Perry was always looking out for, you know, was always looking out for black people in a sense. It's another reason why he's been protected the way he has. Even with the criticisms, people were like, yeah, but he's doing so much. Like, mm-hmm. He's giving people jobs and like starring roles and things when they aren't getting them, even though they deserve them.
You know? Well, that's a really good point, because that balances out what we said about the writing. Mm-hmm. But like, even if he's not doing that in the writer's room necessarily, he is bringing a lot of people to these big roles. And I think your point earlier was so true that like, while they might be kind of like two-dimensional characters, the acting is so good that you're like swept up in the storyline and you don't really mm-hmm. mind that he's being so evil that it just couldn't be possible.
Yeah, right. I thought Kimberly Elise did a very nice job of balancing things. Like, and there was like times where I was like, wow, she's like really acting and like this is, wow,
oh my God,
she's taking
yeah.
me there. Because yeah. I love her from Set It Off. I think she's great. Have you seen that movie, Lauren?
No, I haven't. And this has been one that I feel like has come up a bunch for me lately.
It's a great movie. It's okay. Queen Latifah. Yeah.
I'm going to watch that.
Jada Pinkett Smith, Vivica A. Fox, and then Kimberly Elias in there. Girls who end up, I won't tell you. It's good.
Okay, yeah, don't tell me anything. I like to be surprised.
She's also the wife in John Q. And it's a smaller role, but like she's great in that too. And I love that movie.
She's great. Denzel and Washington, I thought she was so funny. Like in the comedic scenes, she really made Madea even funnier because her reactions were so genuine that it just was like, it just made the Madea stuff pop even more. Like when they're ripping everything up and she's like, wait, what's the point of this? And she's like, there is no point. And she's like, okay. Yeah. It was just cute little moments.
Kind of, I guess the MCU, Marvel borrowed from the MCU by putting really great actors into superhero movies so they could elevate the material the same way Tyler Perry. Wow. They really borrowed from Tyler. Yeah. Wow. Wow.
That's very
Angela
clear.
Bassett is in Meet the Brown. I'm like looking up all these films. I'm like, yep, there's an incredible actor in every single one of them. Like,
that's awesome.
Angela Bassett is in Meet the Browns. And that movie is so basic, but you're just like, but Angela Bassett is the star of it. Like,
I thought that was a TBS show. Oh, was it a movie and then a TBS show?
Yes, exactly.
Man, what
he
a
does
treat.
It crossovers, baby.
There's a lot to learn.
He also like it's a weird thing because he is playing. He is like playing a woman in but he does like protect Black women in his films. Like she's playing this very protective character, and it is kind of like what Tyler Perry, like you also have to think about it, like this came out of you know the 90s, which you had a lot of like what we call hood films, where you know there are a lot of films like based off of the drug game and things like that, and they're almost always male led, and there wasn't a lot of great representation for Black women in those movies because they were always just like the romantic interest maybe here or there. You know what I mean? Like, so like Madea, Tyler Perry, I'm calling him Madea.
He really disappears into the role.
He's the same person. But Tyler Perry has a lot of movies where the women are the leads. You know what I mean? Like most of his movies, the women are the leads. And like, so they're getting their own story told. So it is like in that way, you're like, oh, it is very different. And it's funny, so, like, men are watching it, too. So, like, he really was able to, like, kind of just target a group of people who just felt like they were not being represented, you know?
That's interesting to somehow be able to do that while starring in it as a man. You know what right. I mean? Yeah. Like, it's like, yeah, I definitely see your point. And it's like, at the same time, he still is the lead. However, he was able to create these stories that elevate other people, but... Yeah, that's an interesting way in to get the guys to go see it, too. Mm-hmm.
This is an award-winning movie. 2 NAACP Image Awards, 5 BET Comedy Awards. I think that's, yeah.
Yes. So Kimberly Elise won Outstanding Actress in a Motion Picture NAACP Award. And then Cicely Tyson won a Supporting Actress.
Which is funny because she's in one scene.
But she was very memorable.
She was.
She's in like two. She's in like two scenes. She's in the scene.
Well, she yells at the grandpa guy.
Oh, yes.
But yeah, her memorable scene is like in the old.
God will take care of all things.
It was really dramatic.
God, ask him.
Oh my God, I forgot we didn't talk about the fact that there is a gospel rendition of "What If God Was One of Us."
Oh my God, I actually Googled it and I was like, which came first?
What if God was one of us?
I was confused. I was like, oh, is this course, the original?
What is it? Joan Baez who sings the song, who wrote that song. But is that who it is? Or am I mixing that up?
I don't know. I get so confused about
Joan Osborne.
Joan Baez is an old singer.
Yeah.
Joan Osborne. And I was really confused. I was like, I know that song so well, but I've never heard it sung like this, which makes me think it is a religious song because it actually really works. And then I was like, oh my God, did I not know this was like originally a gospel song? And then no, it's not. They covered that song.
No, it's not.
And it makes it even better.
It's so funny.
I had that issue with the song My Guy. So I love Sister Act. And then my roommate John and I were like listening to music and My Guy came on and I was like, ugh, why would they change the lyrics from God to guy? And he fully turned around and was like, what do you, what? And
you I was like, thought
it's from
that
Sister
was...
Act. It's My God. And he
Oh, and he was my like, God.
No, no, he's like,
no, that's
not.
What he's makes like, that scene cute.
I truly that's learn amazing. Every day.
I love that so much.
That's amazing.
Well, critically, the film was not well received. It currently has a 16% fresh rating on Rotten Tomatoes, which is just bullshit. Which one critic from the New York Post simply, he wrote, "Stay clear of this mess." Another from the Hollywood Reporter wrote, "In an awkward split personality way, it works some of the time." I mean,
I agree.
I feel like reviews can be too critical. Like, I mean, I get that's literally the point of them, but I agree that it had like a split personality thing in the sense that there were so many genres kind of coming together. It's a comedy one minute. It's like a devastating drama the next minute. But like, that's kind of what makes it interesting and makes it special. Like, I think it stands alone in this way that I can't think of other things that really do that. And that's cool that it's unique in that sense.
Yeah. And I honestly stayed off my phone for most of it. I was too. Pretty enthralled, and I enjoyed it. And
I think our listeners will be able to tell if that means we really were interested, because we can't usually put our phone down.
I mean, during Lord of the Rings, I was like, my phone is my hand, and I have to look at my hand.
You literally have to during that movie, like those movies. Like, if you didn't have your phone, then you're just like slowly just bleeding out from your eyes. I don't know. I mean, we tried.
Well, some critics didn't feel that it was bad. Some critics saw the film in a positive light. Appreciating Perry's talent, filmsandreview.com writing, "Here is a brand new genre, a black Christian romantic revenge comedy. It doesn't quite work, but Tyler Perry is a jewel."
Well, that's nice.
Yeah. I think it works. I don't know. I
do too.
It clearly worked. Like, it made a lot of money.
So much money. It worked. So speaking of that, okay, so audiences loved the film. Its budget was $5.5 million, and it grossed $50.7 million in the box office, landing at number one in its first weekend. And it has a Google audience rating of 4.7 stars, which is good. So I think that speaks to you know, what people are really feeling, not just what some random reporter was like, I don't like it.
Yeah, and I think that's why Tyler Perry can just brush off negative criticism, because he's like, I make money. Say whatever you fucking want, but like, I'm bankable. I'm reliable. Yeah, right. I make the money back plus a ton more.
Yeah.
When asked if he would kill Madea off in recent years, Perry said he would retire her. "She doesn't die," Perry revealed, assuring his fans she's a family member to a lot of people. You can't kill off a family member.
Good. I would feel sad if they killed off Madea. Yeah, that's true. You actually can.
But I would be sad if Madea died. I love Madea.
I'm really excited about Madea, and I can't wait to see her do other things. Like, that's what I'm most excited about. I know we're going to have to probably venture out into stuff where Madea is not in it, but
there are several of those too.
And what's your take on that? Like, do you feel like Madea is kind of an essential element, or can you find pleasure in other things?
I mean, for me, yes. Because when Madea's not in it, then what you get is the melodrama without Madea.
Yeah.
And it's like, the melodrama is, it can work when you're cutting it with like real fun humor. But when it's just the melodrama, you're like, okay, this is a lot, you know?
Yeah.
But for some people, that stuff works too. You know, I don't know. Those are tougher for me, though, I will say.
I'm curious to watch like the TV show stuff that feels really soapy, because I mean, that's not my genre typically, but I feel like I've just always kind of been curious about what goes on those shows, because there's like, you have to have some like, I mean, I just seen the storylines in this that are so crazy. I feel like if you're doing a soap and you know that's what you're doing, like, you can just do anything. So I'm kind of excited to see how wild this stuff gets.
Right. Here's a little bit of trivia. So Tyler Perry started shopping the play Diary of a Mad Black Woman to Hollywood studios for a possible film adaptation in 2001. He heard no from several studios, which I'm sure are kicking themselves, before Lionsgate bought the script in 2004.
Madea is a Southern colloquialism short for mother dear.
Madea was a character in a play who was only supposed to be on stage for a few minutes when another actor didn't show up for their part. Perry kept performing as Madea, and she became a huge hit with the audience.
Okay, so he was fully improvising then, right? I mean, that's
probably.
That's amazing.
And that's all he does.
Oh, so do you think
he improvised
in the movie?
It's
just improvising?
Oh, absolutely. It becomes more and more obvious. Like I said, he didn't direct this film, like, especially in the later ones, when you know he is like, I'm just churning these out. It becomes a lot more obvious that he's clearly just improvising, but it's funny. Like, I mean, it was, yeah, it is. He's just really good at it. He does so much. It's insane.
I watched the calculator bit. Three times last night. It was really fucking rewound funny. I was like, I love it.
It's a solid 2 minutes of typing on the
the outtakes where he had that bit, which I wish was in the movie, when they were at the dinner table and he's like, she just left you at the table. She didn't have to do that. She could have done that in the car. Like, he just fully embarrassed you. She made you feel this big. And I heard that's not the only thing that's that big.
Oh my god, I have to watch the outtakes.
Yep, same. This is the only movie we've ever covered where I was like, yeah, I'll watch the extended cut.
I need more information. We usually are like, we got it. Okay.
Yep. No, I'll take all the information.
This is amazing. So, okay, Madea is inspired by Tyler Perry's mom and his aunt. And he was also inspired by Eddie Murphy when he saw Murphy performing as women in Nutty Professor 2, The Clumps. He knew he could pull off a female character as well. So that's definitely clear.
So the 26-room Atlanta mansion that belongs to Charles and Helen was Perry's actual house.
What?
Which he christened, Avec Chateau, and lived in alone.
26 rooms? The mansion is crazy. I love that he shot it in his home. So that's another way to save money.
Yep. He was his own location scout. He was like, yep, we'll do it here. I know of a couple other places and that's a wrap.
I know all the rooms really well. We can use all these different sets. I have an office and a closet. Okay. After the arraignment scene where Helen makes bail and Madea gets house arrest, the judge is seen calling up her next case, repeat offender Bobby Brown. You can hear a woman who's supposed to be Whitney Houston scream off camera, Bobby, I love you. Sit down, Miss Houston. The judge orders her. Houston and Perry were good friends in real life. Okay, another fascinating twist.
That is, I didn't realize that. I was just like, oh boy, Tyler. But I mean, yeah, I guess if they're friends.
Because it feels like a joke you wouldn't put in if you were friends with the person.
Maybe it's like a little light roasting. It's like, Whitney, I put you in my movie. And she's like, but no, you didn't. You know?
And that was the famous, that judge, what was her name? She had her own divorce court, wasn't she?
Yes, oh my God, yes. I thought so.
Yes,
okay.
That was her.
That's so funny.
Boy. I was excited to watch it, excited while I watched it, excited to talk about it, and I'm like so happy right now.
I know, and I'm excited for the next one.
Me too.
This movie, as we said, it grossed, 10 times what it cost, and the following year he opened up Tyler Perry Studios in Atlanta. So he jumped right into that.
Yeah, I wonder if he bet on himself, was smart and did back end points as opposed to getting paid up front. Because that's how you make your real fucking money, or like a percentage of the box office.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder. That's like,
oh my God.
It's cool. Like, I think Tyler Perry, say what you will about him, but like, I think it's thoroughly impressive.
I mean, it's crazy.
His business savvy is insane.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Tyler Perry, write a Christian movie for me and Lauren to star in.
Oh my God, put me in. What's our next one? Do you remember
which one? Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. Are you going to do the...
I have it written somewhere. Hold on.
Madea's Family Reunion?
Oh, Daddy's Little Girls.
Yeah, Daddy's Little Girls. That's the one with Idris Elba.
Oh, good.
Oh, wait, Daddy's Little Girls. I've truly never even heard of this one.
Me neither.
Yeah, that's with Idris Elba, Gabrielle Union, Tracy Ellis Ross is in it.
Oh, this looks good.
I'm telling you, there are so many famous black people in his movies. You're just like, wait, what? Like, they all did Tyler Perry movies.
The cover of the DVD or whatever. I'm like, I'm in.
I gotta look at it.
It's like three little girls who are pouting while a man is about to kiss, I'm assuming, his new wife. I don't know. They look mad. So
wait a minute. There are two different versions of the movie poster.
Oh, wait,
one where
see.
It looks like a rom-com and one where it looks like an indie movie for like Oscars.
Oh my God. You're so right. Cause I saw the rom-com one. I'm like, that's so up my alley. And the other one looks like it's going to be emotional and like he's holding the daughters and they're all smiling at the new wife. I just made up that there's a new wife. I don't know if that's even the plot, but it just kind of makes me feel like it is. But she's also like wearing a suit for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm in. I can't
Me
wait.
Me too.
And you know what? It probably is every genre if we're looking at it like the Diary of a Mad Black Woman, because it's like,
right.
He does it all. You got to make multiple posters to bring in the audience you want.
I mean,
and then
yeah.
you get what you want. Everyone gets what they want and everyone's mm-hmm. satisfied.
We love Tyler Perry.
We're so in, obviously.
All of a sudden, you guys are going to be like, I think we need to do more than 10 films.
We got to do 30 episodes. We got to keep watching.
I did hear that there were 10 Madea films. And I was like, if we did 10 Madea films for the whole, I mean, that's the first 10, but there's so much to do that you can't just stay on Madea. Oh, right. My God.
Tyler Perry, man. He has his whole universe.
Yeah, it's...
I'm so excited.
It's so cool. I wonder if, like, while he was pitching things, because it was like 5 years in between pitching and actually having it bought, or like 3 years. I wonder if he just like kept writing movies to be like, well, when they buy this first one, I'll be fucking ready with a loaded chamber.
That would be so smart. I mean, it feels like it considering how many he's done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And they're all based off of plays. I think the vast majority of them, like this one was a play. Daddy's Little Girls was a play. Madea's Family Reunion was a play. Like so a lot of them were plays. So he just like has them in the chamber.
Yeah. I feel like at some point we should delve into like his backstory as a person, because I don't know anything about his life.
Me
and I would
either.
Like to know how he was doing all these plays, why he was interested in doing that. And I'm very curious about this.
Is he married? Line. Yeah, I don't know anything
I don't
about
think
Tyler
he
Perry.
Is. I feel like he's like kind of famously single.
Oh.
I just realized that I don't know either. I don't know anything about his personal life.
It kind of looks like there's no recent covering of him having a girlfriend. At some point he did on some red carpets, but that was, yeah. It says 2000. Oh, no, wait. He does have a long time relationship.
With Galila
Bakil. The couple has been together since 2009 and have a child together. Okay, I was totally wrong.
Huh? Tyler Perry is a child?
I didn't know that either.
Doesn't
he seem like he's so private? Because like, how do I not know this? I feel like you see him all over the place. I've never seen him with a woman, I feel like.
Yes, I've never seen him with this woman, but she is stunning.
Let's see when this was written, by the way, because that could be like some old news.
Oh, no, they split. This is in 2020.
Because I was going to say it was 2019 when that little piece was.
Well, OK Magazine said Tyler Perry's having a midlife crisis, which I think that's pretty rude for them to call. Oh, no. And it says, funny man, Tyler Perry is not feeling so holly jolly this holiday season.
Oh,
the
my God.
Who write
people
for tabloids
are ridiculous.
Are deranged. If you write for one and you're listening, God bless. I won't apologize. That's
it feels
so
like you can just write anything.
Anything.
You can write the craziest sentence ever and it's a headline. It's just, he's not so holly jolly.
Here's why they got the headline, because he captioned a mirror selfie on Instagram. This is what a midlife crisis looks like. So they're pulling from the source.
Okay,
I take it
quote.
Back. Okay.
That's a quote.
I'm so sorry.
Oh, it was a selfie. And it's him working out. He's in workout clothes. And it's just a selfie in a mirror. There's no like gym equipment. But this is what a midlife crisis looks like. I'm 51, single, and wondering what the next chapter of my life will look like. Whatever it looks like, I'm going to walk with God, be the best father and man I can be, hold my head up high, and try to look my best doing it. In a world with so much sadness, please try and stay in the good. Merry Christmas, and let's look forward to 2021 bringing us peace. Okay, so that was in this year that he had this happen?
That was last
December.
Year.
But in I mean 2020. Like during COVID, he was having his midlife crisis. In his mansions, plural for sure.
Oh, it's a son. He's got a son. Amon Tyler Perry. That's kind of a funny name. Amon Tyler Perry. Wait, he named his child Amon Tyler Perry. Tyler Perry's funny.
Oh my God.
What's your name? Amon Tyler Perry.
That's so funny.
Oh my goodness.
That's great. I wonder if it's pronounced a man or a mon.
I'm guessing it's not a man.
I hope it's a man. Oh, that a man.
Or Amen. Amen. Actually, I babysat a kid named Amen. Maybe it's spelled like
Amen.
That.
Oh, Amen.
But it looks like a man.
It does look like a man. And it's very funny to me that he was like, I may dress as a woman, but I have a little child and I am a man, Tyler Perry.
He's like, I don't want to name him Tyler Perry. I want to name him something else, something original. I'll just name him a man and then Tyler Perry. Okay, what were we going to say, John?
Just that, like, I also want, because I probably won't get too many religious people who come on this show, but like I don't want to downplay the aspect, like the how important the Christian aspect was to a lot of his audience base, because it was like you know if when you're in that world you feel like there are no movies made for you, so like to have a movie that you can like really laugh at and then feel like you're like getting like a lesson that you like feel good about, and then like just like three mentions of God, like people are like, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen, we all have to see this, like, you know, like I wouldn't be surprised if like whole churches like play mm-hmm. these movies, you know what I mean, like it's definitely a huge part of it. And I think like it's funny because there are some parts where I'm like I watch it and I'm like, oh yeah, like what a great thing to like, you know, believe in yourself and like don't let have this person like hold something over you, like mm-hmm. like the idea of forgiveness, if you forgive them you're actually releasing their power over you, you know what I mean, so your ability to move on, because she was so like she never was over it, that's why she went and tormented him, because she mm-hmm. just like had all this rage that she wasn't able to let go of. And I don't know, it's so there are things like that you understand that like it does mean something on a deeper level for people, even if not everyone connects to it.
You know? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I don't know. I fucking just really liked it.
I honestly, like recounting this whole summary of it, I'm like, it's even better than it was when I was watching it. It was great.
Those scenes are so every scene with Tyler and him as Joe, he's funny as Joe too.
Yeah, he is. Joe's less exciting to me, but
yes, and I'm not sure why.
I'm not sure either.
There's less joy with Joe.
I was gonna say it's not as silly. Right. It's like right. Medea's so silly and it's really mm-hmm. fun. Joe almost just feels like, I don't know, like it's just a little more boring.
Yeah.
Fair.
And more predictable, like with I feel like Medea, I can't tell what's gonna happen.
Mm-hmm. She's unpredictable. She's what a theater teacher once told me. When you're on stage, you have to be, oh shit, what do you say? Oh, you have to be dangerous. People can't know what you're gonna do next. So I think about that a lot.
That's a great tip. Uh-huh.
When she, Joe said something, and then she just picks up her purse and you hear the click of the gun and she's mm-hmm. like, say that again? Mm-hmm.
The gun is such a fun, the gun's really the third character.
Oh wait, and then at one point she shoots the ceiling and everyone's okay with that.
Yes.
And like complete with ceiling falling down on her. I was like, no, there's a hole in the roof and nobody's mad about this.
No one cared.
That's one of my favorite things about the movie. A lot of things happened and people watched it happen and they were like, fine by me. Here's yes. my other line.
There's basically no huge reactions to anything crazy that happens at all. I mean, even just like the abuse, like I feel yes. like Brenda stands there and watches him drag her out with no like, maybe yeah, you shouldn't right. do that. You know, she's just like watching.
And then when she was like, let him die, the doctor could have been like, ma'am, who are you? And why are you so cruel?
Right. No one gets called out for anything. You just have, everyone's just accepted for exactly what they are, what they said. Mm-hmm. Like everyone's like, okay, so she wants him to die. What's your vote?
Right.
Also, he gets it to go home in an ambulance. Is that a thing?
Oh, yeah.
To go home in an ambulance?
Yeah, he got delivered back to the house in an ambulance.
I don't know, maybe because he had a wheelchair now and then, or that.
Well, they're expensive. They're like $700. And even with insurance, you have to pay $200 of it. Believe me, I know.
How's your ankle, by the way?
It's better. It didn't swell up today and I was walking around a lot. So I think it's like on the road to being normal again.
That's good.
And I've been doing my little exercises, which is good.
Yeah, that's so important, even though that part is so boring.
So boring. And they're dumb, stupid exercises. But like, I've been doing it for the last like 4 days and I feel a difference.
Well, that's good. Yeah. You got to get back on the pole.
I really miss it. I get so sad when I look at my dusty old pole.
Hasn't John been cleaning it?
John, clean my pole. And they're like, Nicole's harassing John again. I wonder if my neighbors hear me. I'm so loud sometimes.
Oh my God. I kind of hope they do. I would like to imagine, like, I would like to think about what they imagine is happening inside your house when you're screaming in there. All right. Well, I think we have to wrap it up, but I'm very excited about this. I think we're at the start of a very exciting journey. Lots of good stuff ahead. John, thank you so much for being here and getting us to diving us into the world of Madea and Tyler Perry with this exciting movie. And do you have anything you want to plug?
Oh, nothing new, but if you want to watch Astronomy Club on Netflix, you can. That's still there.
You should. It's very funny.
Thank you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And podcast, Black Men Can't Jump in Hollywood. You can follow me on, social media at John Braylock.
Awesome. Right. Okay. And so everyone out there, we are encouraging you to please write a review because we will be picking one to read on the next episode. So we need a new one that's in the Tyler Perry, theme. And we'll be back next week with another Tyler Perry movie as discussed. So we'll see you then.
Okay. Bye-bye. Okay,
bye-bye.
Bye.
Was a HeadGum original.